The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Amazing Monday. See how I did that amazing with the Monday? As we launch into the new week with a new attitude and fresh perspective, here is the challenge for this week. Let us not be people pleasers or self pleasers as much as God pleasers. Good idea. Plus, War and Peace. It's not only a long book, it's a long movie. But it's a reality for Christians who are living as well. And finally, instead of escaping from trials, shouldn't we seek the healing balm that the Lord provides?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. Wait till I tell you what happened. You're going to cry for me and laugh at me at the same time. And there's so much more. It's just a ton more. Oy vey. It's just a ton more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to text us. We only got 5 days left for this. Might as well enjoy it. Text us, 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. That's how you text us to give answers for trivia, any praise reports, any prayer requests, anything that's going on, doesn't matter. We can help out. 214-210-8483, and we will open this up with a trivia question to start, and a relatively easy one. In the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 6, how many horses? In Revelation chapter 6, how many horses appeared? If you know the answer, send a text, 214-210-8483. Just keep in mind, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. So with that in mind, it's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. So much to tell you. I just want to share so many wonderful things, and then I have to share some other things that happened to me that were not so wonderful. First, for those that are Twitter-minded, David Spoon at Spoon Experience, because my handle. See, so it's David Spoon at Spoon Experience, because my handle. Don't forget about our DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. The DNA for the Christian. I'll get into these things in just a second, but I do want to cover a little history for those that do not know who are fans of the Star Wars franchise. Today is Star Wars Day. May 4. May the Force be with you. May 4. Problem with that is May 4, 2020. Doesn't sound like Star Wars, but that's okay. It's also International Respect for Chickens Day, which I have no idea what that means. Additionally, it is National Orange Juice Day, so make sure to drink some orange juice. And it's Firefighters Day, a day to appreciate the firefighters that are in our lives. Even if you don't see them every day, they do a fantastic job for helping all of us, and we should appreciate that. For those that do not know, in 1494 on this day, Christopher Columbus landed in Jamaica. That's where I think they first started selling the oil suntan lotion. And then in 1904, construction began on the United States Panama Canal. Here's something that somebody might find really interesting. In 1924 on this day, in the Summer Olympics, the gold medal winner was Johnny Weissmuller, who went on to be Tarzan. I thought that was fascinating. And then in 1979, on this day, Margaret Thatcher became the first woman prime minister of the United Kingdom. So We got some people already answering the question. We'll offer up the question again, then I'll tell you what happened to me. Then you're going to cry for me, and you're going to laugh at me. Here's the trivia question. How many horses appear in the book of Revelation in Revelation 6? So we're not talking about Revelation 19, or you'd be throwing in a few more numbers. In Revelation 6, how many horses appear? And then I got a follow-up question coming after that. So here's what happened. I know you guys, a lot of you don't know me real well. You're getting to know me. You've been on the air for, I don't know, like, let's see, March, about 15 months, 16 months. We've done several shows. And so this weekend, I had two really bizarre things happen. Somebody attacked our website. And when I mean attack the website, they had the website taken down. They had the name servers redirected to nothing. They stopped all the giving process. They really went after it. It's all fixed. It's all better. But it should tell you that it's very rare to make advancements in the kingdom where you don't come across a little bit of bump and a little bit of ride and a little bit of opposition. So why I'm saying that is not for you to go, oh, no, if you visit the website, nothing will happen to your computer. It's 100% clean, 100% fine. But that's the kind of stuff that happens. People hear the show, they hear the gospel, and instead of just saying no, they get retaliatory. That didn't put me in the best mood. I'm sure you guys can appreciate that. But this really threw me over the edge. After this happened, after we were just calming everything down, I decided to walk out and get the mail. Not a complex issue for most people. It's just called getting the mail. You walk outside and you go through your front door and you go to the mailbox and you get the mail. We have a little gate there that's for the dog so that Levi doesn't bolt out. We've had it for 10 years. And we have a little screen that's kind of a roll-up screen, one of those $5 ones. And I went to go outside, and I opened the little gate door, and my foot got caught in the gate, and my face got caught in the screen, and I got wrapped up like Spider-Man and got tangled up and did a flip and landed on the rocks and on the cement. Now, before you get overly concerned for me, even though there were some serious bruises and some gashes, there is absolutely nothing wrong with me other than I hit the other part of my head, so I feel now that when somebody said, "Were you hit in the head as a kid?" I can now balance that out by saying I was also hit in the head on the cement on my floor just the other day. I'm fine, but it was that kind of day from the website to falling over. So my wife, who loves and adores me, made me sit in the chair and watch a couple of shows and not move. And she wouldn't let me get up and do anything. She said, "You just stay right there and you don't move." I'm telling you that because stuff like that happens to all of us. We all go through the ups and the downs and the trials and the ridiculous and the stupid. And I, by the way, don't blame God. I don't blame Satan, though if I was going to blame somebody, I guess that's a good place to go. I blame myself for sticking my foot in the gate and tripping and falling forward and landing on the cement and landing on the rocks and landing on the brick. That was my fault. But it was just one little thing after one little thing after one little thing. And I will tell you that the enemy will use whatever he can to take our heart and our mind away, to take our spirit away from worshiping the Lord, just to try and get us to be upset about it. Lasted probably about 20 minutes. I got over it. Listen to my wife, which is a good thing to do when you're in a situation like that. Then she was taking care of me for the next couple of hours. So all things worked together for good, and then she was bringing me my food. And I thought that was kind of nice. So anyway, I'm just sharing that with you. Look, I need prayer just like you need prayer, and here's the deal. The deal is it's not always easy to do everything that you're doing in your Christian walk. There's times where it's really hard. There's times where your faith is really challenged. There's times where you and I, listen to what I'm saying. We get frustrated. And you know what? It's not like God's up there going, "Oh, I can't believe you're frustrated." He knows you're frustrated. He knows there's times where you're just sitting there going, "Come on. Come on." But keep in mind that whatever happens to you, how you and I respond has much more to do with our character than what is being allowed in our lives. It'd be one thing if I got mad and made a crack to God and said, could have had an angel there, could have caught me. I'm not saying I didn't do that. I'm just saying it'd be one thing if I did that. It'd be another thing if I got mad. Okay? Getting mad, that's dumb. I fell. I tripped. I got up. Oh, well. Unfortunately, I told my daughter, whom I adore and love, and then she just decided to berate me as being just like my mom was. So I have a whole nother vengeful thing going on that I'm still working on. I've not yet decided how to retaliate, but I can promise it will probably have to do with a really loud horn that is sent to her house for one of the kids' birthday presents. You know, one of those that you push the button and it goes, woo, 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 really loud? Yeah, okay. Just letting you know. All right, let me just say this one thing, and then we'll move on. We've got a lot of stuff to cover, a lot of cool things to cover, and I want you to be excited about it. First and foremost, let me just give you a quickie real here. Genesis 1:1-3, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. I just want you to be aware that it only takes 4 words from God to change the universe. God said, let there be light. Boom, light. And forget all of the theoreticals. He was the agency that spoke light into existence. And why I want you to be aware of that is your relationship with God is so important, because then when you petition and you say, Lord, can we have this happen? May this happen? Can you do this? If God ever says yes, it's done. And nobody and no thing, no person and no entity, no circumstance and no situation will stand against our God. You are in communion with the creator of the universe. And he started this process by 4 words. Let there be light. And it was so. When I petition the Lord from time to time, I say this. I don't make a reservation about it. I say, Lord, all you got to do is say yes, and it's done. Because God's word is immovable, and we can count on it. So when you petition, just say, Lord, you know, there's a no button over there, and there's a yes button. Please hit the yes button. If God says yes, it's done. And you should rejoice that you are connected to him who created the universe. So the 4 words changed everything forever for everyone. And he's the one who cares about you. Big responsibility, but a bigger heart for his very own people. Okay? All right. Answer to the trivia question. Everybody got it right, by the way. 4 horsemen. 4 horsemen. In the book of Revelation. Somebody caught on ahead. I'm going to ask another trivia question right about that when we get back, so don't go too far. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting 7 churches throughout the United States and having 3 separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, now that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White, was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage, and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it.
Sometimes welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where we are doing our 27th show from Fate, Texas. However, Monday of next week, we will be doing our first show back in the studio. We're going to keep the text process alive for people that want to text them, but then we're also going to open up the phone, the regular phone line back, you know, when we do this on Monday of next week, so you'll be able to answer the trivia questions either way. So some people are more comfortable with texting. We think that's kind of cool, and we want to keep that available. So that's something that's good that has come out of it. The other thing that I want to say is people are like, well, what good can come out of these kind of situations like we're in with the virus? There was, in fact, in the newspaper on one of the Christian sites, a really good article. They're not always very good, but some of them are. And it was really good about how online there have been a multitude of decisions, first-time decisions, for Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior. You have to just think, that's cool. That's a good thing. And God, no matter what everybody else is doing, God's doing what he's doing. And it's just a great thing to see that people have made decisions, gotten to that place, and they've made a decision to follow after the Lord. I mean, that is, of all things, the great, great miracle. All right, so you can, by the way, text us 214-210-8483. Next question. I'm going to go a little bit of a different direction because I know you guys are on top of it, so get ready. Here we go. What city is mentioned in the book of Revelation that is also an American city? Aha! What city is mentioned in the book of Revelation that's also an American city? We'll cover that when we get to it towards the end of the segment, 214-210-8483. Don't forget about our website, everything 100% clean, 100% pure, hemustincrease.org, which has my testimony, which has a radio interview, has audio, has video, has a whole bunch of things, plus access to over 2,400 hours of podcasts on every possible subject you can come up with. It's there. Additionally, we want to encourage you to go there and give if you're able to give, because for sure the giving is down, and we're telling everybody it is. It's down across the board. You know, it was 18%. Now I think it's back to 16%, not just for us, for everybody. We ask you to take care of the most important ministries in your life first, please. And if you have anything left over and you can contribute to ours, great. And if not, then join us by praying, and we will be superbly grateful. As every day I spend praying for our radio audience, just so you can know how I pray about it, is I pray people not just presently listening, but people from the past and people in the future that will listen. Because you want the Lord to bless all his people. At least that's what I want. So hemustincrease.org. Don't forget about our app. It's free. You can just go to if you use Apple, you got to use the KAAM 770 app. That's free. Or if you use Google Play Store, you can get the He Must Increase app. You are welcome to do that as well. Okay. Additionally, email David, hemustincrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. We had a few people sign up over the weekend. And now, let's hear from our next ministry partner. Yes, yes, yes. Kimberly Ellis with the awesome Fathom Realty. We just want to encourage you to reach out to her. Ask her a question if you have anything going on. First-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosures, short sales, doesn't matter what it is. If you're sitting there saying, I want to talk to somebody because I just don't know what the market is looking like, don't know what that feel is, what's the sense, what is everybody kind of hinting towards, what are they leaning towards, get in touch with Kimberly. She'll be glad to talk to you. No obligation. 903-48-HOMES. Watch this. 903-48-HOMES. H-O-M-E-S. You can also reach her by going directly to hemusincrease.org because we have a couple of links that link to her website, and to her website that is hers, and then the one for Fathom. And just keeping it real simple, if you get in touch with Kimberly, she'll be glad to answer, take care of any questions, walk you through whatever you got to walk through. She will not charge you. If you're just asking questions, she'll be glad to help you. And if she can't help you, she will point you in the right direction. That part you have to appreciate. That's pretty cool. Okay? All right. We've already done our DNA. It never hurts to remind anybody about it. D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. I'm going to tell you a personal story. All right, again, the trivia question to 214. You got to text it, 214-210-8483. What city is mentioned in the book of Revelation? It's also an American city. The only other hint I'll give you is I have a son that lives there. Aha! For those that don't know, so I got one, I can't tell you that one, but I got one real close and one a little farther away, and I got my daughters in Tennessee, my son is in Fate here in Texas, and I have another son over yonder land. Okay, you got to figure it out. All right, I want to share with you a story. So have you ever in your life, in your Christian walk, so you'll hear either a sermon or you'll read a portion of Scripture, or something will happen. Maybe you go to a concert, a Christian concert. Maybe you go to a small revival. Maybe something's happening at your church specifically. Maybe it's a Bible study. And then you get challenged. And then you think, man, I got to do that. I got to try that. I want to add that in. Or I want to try it so I can see what that's like, see what people are going through. Well, when I was a younger Christian, I did this same kind of thing. When people would say stuff I was very unfamiliar with, I'd be fascinated by it, and I would want to explore it. And so one time there was a speaker taking place at the church I was attending, and he talked about fasting. And so for me, back then, I was 6 foot, 135 pounds. See, now I'm 6 foot and 245 pounds, so it's a little different. But back then, I mean, no food was like, whatever. I'd just do whatever. It didn't matter to me. And so I decided I was going to do this, and I'd done fasting a couple of times. I shared with you one time about my big, big, big fasting disaster, my 5-day fast, which I will cover some other time. But this was just a 3-day fast. I really thought, you know, I really want to do this. I think I can do this. And what I'm expecting basically in the fast is for Skittles to come flying out of the sky and rainbows. And I always thought if you're going to do something like that for the Lord, then the Lord's got to respond. He's got to give you whatever he's going to give you. Right? It's got to be like a Mars bar. It's got to be fantastic. Right? That's my assumption. And in fact, I will tell you that during this fast, the Lord did speak to me at the end. But not the way I thought of or when I thought of or anything. So I fasted for 3 days. And this is what happened. So when I fasted, just so you can know, I didn't drink coffee. I drank water. I didn't drink anything else. When you fast, that's the word fast really means to go without. So if you're fasting, you can fast at dinner. You can fast, soda. You can fast meat. You can fast, I don't know why you'd fast meat, but you can do it. You can fast anything you want that you're going to sacrifice in order to do it for the Lord. So I just had nothing but water. It was for 3 days. The fast came, the fast went, the fast came and went. And after the fast, I was in the parking lot of a grocery store. Mostly people don't know what a Smitty's is, but some people do. And I was in a parking lot, and I said, really disappointed, Lord. I fasted for 3 days, and I really thought that there was going to be something, you know, that you were going to give me. And I didn't say anything, just kind of like, you know, I was stewing. I don't know if you've ever done that. I'm sure I am the only Christian in all of Texas that stews every once in a while before the Lord and goes, And the Lord did, after the fast, whisper something to me, which had nothing to really do with the fast, which is a part of the problem that I have. Because I always think that I'm going to do something and then God has to respond because that's the deal. But that's not the deal. The deal is that God made a commitment to never abandon me, never forsake me, never leave me. He will always be with me. He will guide me. He'll be true. He'll be faithful. He'll be diligent as beyond my understanding and comprehension. But he is not a genie. He is not a dog or a seal that does tricks. He's the Lord God Almighty, King of the universe. And he did speak to me, but it wasn't anything like I thought he was going to speak to me. And in fact, it was a rebuke or a reproof. I'm not sure which one it would fall under. One of the two. And he said this to me in so many words. Let me say it the best way I can tell you, but it pretty much came across like this. Speak for me and not the audience. Now, he wasn't talking to audiences in radio. I'd never done radio at that point. But his whole point was I was supposed to speak for the author and not the audience. And apparently, in some of my prior teaching, I've been doing a pretty good job of speaking for the audience, to the audience, with the audience. And the Lord didn't want me to do that. He wanted me to speak what he wanted. And instead of God saying, oh, Dave, you fasted for me. I'm going to do whatever you want because you're such a great guy, Dave. Here we go. The exact opposite happened. He said, you can do a better job of this stuff. You speak for me, not for them. You follow my way. And I was ashamed that I had treated God with such disrespect. He didn't have to answer me. He did that as a grace. But his point was that I should be living for him and not for the praises of others. Then he took me to John 12. Then he took me to the passages where he really showed me. Speak and live and talk for him, not for yourself or anyone else. The answer to the trivia question, Philadelphia. That's where my son lives, is Philadelphia, for those that did not know that. He's been out there for about 2 years. That is the answer to the trivia question. We'll take a short break. Coming back, got some really cool stuff to cover. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be right back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? What does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for a good trivia question. Here we go, a trivia question. The answers, by the way, go to 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. What was Nimrod known for? There's a bonus question. Who is his great grandfather? Just try and do one. Unless you get them both. What was Nimrod known for? I'm going to leave it right there. The answer's got to go to 214-210-8483 if you think you know what the answer is. Should be fun. That's a good one. Plus, there is a kind of a follow-up question there. He was related to somebody really well-known. Let's see if you can tell me who it is. That would be cool, too. Not making it easy all the time. 214-210-8483. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Check out the website. There is no problems with it. Even though somebody took it down, we got it back up. Redid the, not just where the servers were at, reset the passwords, and, you know, it's just one of those things that happens. The app is working fine, no problems with anybody anywhere on that. Don't forget, email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our next ministry partner.
Well, we're moving on now.
Men of God Moving, and our very, very good friend, Johnny Hill, who just texted me the other day. Actually, Mara, his wife, texted me. And we just want you to know, if you've got anything going on moving-wise, they are essential. You know, when you have to move, moving people are essential. The cool thing about Johnny and the cool thing about Men of God Moving is simple. The cool thing is that if you use them and tell them you heard it on our show, you'll just get a huge discount. And I'm not kidding. I mean, it's just an agreement that him and I have. So if you're moving or if you know somebody that's got to move, menofgodmoving.com. They can also connect through hemustincrease.org on the website. So you can do it either way. All right. Okie dokie. Here we go. Let's see. Here we have the next portion I want to talk about, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 2. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God granted to the churches of Macedonia. During a severe testing by affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed into the wealth of their generosity. Let me read that again. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God granted to the churches of Macedonia. During a severe testing by affliction, the abundance of joy, their abundance of joy, and their deep poverty overflowed into the wealth of their generosity. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about this when we discussed the passage in Hebrews where it says that we come to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace in the time of help, in the time of our need. We receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. There is an aspect to grace that is essentially crucial. And that is the grace of God is for our salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, it says, "Before by grace are you saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." Okay? Here is something that is important. We can argue how much of our works is connected to the salvation process. One thing's for sure, if you have real faith, it's going to be evidenced in your life, okay? There's no question about that. But the only way you can have real faith, many scholars believe, is by God allowing that grace to work into you that certain way. What we know is for sure is that grace is a gift. It is salvation. Grace, it is for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So we know that salvation is a gift, and while we participate, the biggest thing that I've come across in 42 years is this weird thinking that in grace, people think, well, I believed one time, and that's it, so I should be saved, because it's once saved, always saved. But what it doesn't say is one time believing, and then you don't continue to believe. What it says is you have to continually believe, not just a one-time believe. You believe all the way through. You don't start and stop your believing. You never stop believing. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever should believeth. The continual action of believing. Salvation is accessed by this by grace granted to us, received through faith. And we know that, and it's a wondrous, it's such a wonderful gift. It's such a wonderful, grace is such a great gift. When I'm praying in my devotions, I simply say to the Lord, I need your mercy so you don't judge me for what I need to be judged for, and you can just wipe that clean. But I need your grace because that's the only way I'm ever going to get the stuff I can never earn. And that's the wonderfulness of God. In salvation, that has a play. But grace, and I mentioned this before, and I want you to be aware of this, grace has a play in situations. There are times of testing that Christians go through. And again, God, your answer to testing, your answer to trials is not an escape. You might be given a way of escape when it's temptations, but when God is testing you like he tested Abraham, it's not an out the door, beam me up, Scotty mentality. It's getting through it with God through his grace as he pulls you through the process. Maybe you're going through something hard. I'm going through a real tough trial in my life, and I just know if God wants to get rid of it, he can get rid of it. But other than that, I'm going to have to persevere with God to get through it. Like when Paul said, hey, three times I've asked you to take this thing away from me, and God said, my grace is sufficient, so no. And we always think, oh, no, God will just take it away. It won't be that big deal. It's like, no, you got to work through it, push through it with God. It's his grace that will pull you through, but it's kind of like a picture. It's kind of like going through heavy water, and you feel like you're getting stuck. Well, God will put his rope around you and pull you through that water, but you're still going through it. And that's the key. It's the key is to understand that Grace is a situation. It's a circumstance for which God can pour himself into you. If you don't understand it, I want you to understand it, that the situation you're in, as hard as it is, as difficult as it is, instead of you just being 86th out of it, God will pull you through it. He will not abandon you while you're going through it. He will not give up on you, much like he has never given up on you. He will get you through it, but you got to keep pushing forward. There's a little bit of a perseverance attitude. There's a little bit of keep going. There's a tiny bit of stubbornness that is required on the part of the believer to not give in so easily and to give up so easily. If you're looking at just the seeds and the sower and the parable of the sower, you know, some people said yes, yes, and then they had no root, and then trouble came and they bailed. I was like, no, we're not going to be that way. We want to be the people that give 30, 60, 100-fold to that which has been planted into us. And some things we take to better than others. And some things are really hard for us. That's pretty normal. That's not an abnormal thing. But it's critical. It's crucial. It's important to understand that you will get through because God is with you. But he's going to pull you through. He's going to grace you through. He's not going to disappear you. And what I have gotten, you get the impression when you talk to certain people, when certain people text me, is, I just want God to say, enough of this, you never have to go through this again. It's like, I don't see a lot of that in Scripture that way. I see that when we get to the end. But I don't see a lot of Scripture testifying, saying, you don't got to go through no trials. I, in fact, see the opposite. I see the Scripture saying, through many tribulations, one must enter. I see it saying, you've got to, I mean, it's just that process of going through the stations of life, much, much to the connection that you have with Jesus, who had to go through the process. I mean, if anybody had the perfect right to be absolved or abstained from his process, it was Jesus. But he did it voluntarily, and he did it so that he could redeem us. Well, you're going through stuff, and God's still putting you through it. I mean, if you think about Job, and I do often, I think, man, if he'd have known God was bragging, would he have kind of changed his tune? Didn't matter, because what he was doing was he was justifying himself rather than God. And that was the sin. And God wasn't having any of it. Like, no, can't do that. You might not like it. It might take a while to get through it. It might be tough. But you don't justify yourself and blame God. God is justified first, and you find your course. That's the way you do that. Because that's how it's supposed to be done. The grace of God for really tough times and severe testing, that's for Christians. It's for your salvation, but it's for your life. And he's not short on grace. He's rich in mercy and in grace. Isn't that cool? All right. Okay, Nimrod was a mighty hunter in the Lord. For those that want to know, there was a relationship, as one genealogy says, potentially to Noah. So that's what I was going for there, but I did get some other very good answers. I thought that was really cool. All right, we'll take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment. Because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table. And somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it. Because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the
stuff
was spreading.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
On Christ the solid rock.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to remind you, if you want to reach the show, 214-210-8483 is our text number. And again, we are going to keep this number, by the way. I thought this was kind of a good idea. But we're going to keep this number so that when we get back in the studio next week, people can still answer through text, because some people prefer that. I think, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to give you one more trivia question. We do a lot of trivia questions today, but that's all right. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. You're welcome to if you want to. I'm going to keep it real simple, though. What two men in the Bible never died? Careful how you answer that. What two men in the Bible never died? What two men in the Bible never died? That's the question. Website, hemustincrease.org. It hasn't changed since I said something about it 15 minutes ago. Hemustincrease.org. David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our next ministry partner.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Mr. Restore, our very good friend Clint, fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services. I bet if you wanted him to make it the way it was, the whole point of being Mr. Restore is, get this, Mr. Restore restores. Aha! Let's see that. Aha! So Mr. Restore does this thing. They do restoring. So it doesn't matter whether it's a church or an apartment or an office building or a home. If you've had damage, they will take care of you and they will help you out. Clint is a great, great brother in the Lord. They have great advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB and they got thousands of happy customers. You just need to go to MrRestore.com. Mr. M-R, Mr. Restore, just like R-E-S-T-O-R-E, .com, MrRestore.com. Plus, if you go to HeMustIncrease.org under Best Ministry Partners Ever, there's a link that can get you right to them. They usually respond within 60 minutes. So that's pretty fast. If you got something going on and they're responding and they're on site within 60 minutes, that, I guess, an A. Where I come from, that's A work. Where I come from, I'm operating in a B capacity, but that would be A work. Good job by Mr. Restoring Clint and their love, of course, for the Adaptive Training Foundation and their support for our show. Okay, I want to thank everybody for the text. Some people acknowledge. I just appreciate when people will hear what I'm saying. And somebody sent me a cool passage in Jeremiah 15:19. Thank you, because it's just that confirming kind of thing. I love stuff like that, where you hear something or you think you hear something, but then there's other scriptures that really back it up. I think that's great. Thank you. Bottom line is this last little portion. So we talked a little bit about, you know, trying to maybe be too much of a people pleaser, bad plan, or be a self-pleaser, which is really actually even a worse plan. And then we had a little bit of discussion, you know, just about, you know, the fast that I went through and understanding that, look, what God has to say, he's the creator of the universe. He brings things to be, you know, let there be light, change the entire schematic of the entire universe in four words. It wasn't billions and billions and billions of years, because it didn't take God billions and billions and billions of years to say four words. So here's the bottom line. God speaks. It's awesome. And he tells us, hey, when you're speaking for me, speak for me and not for you and not for other people, and kind of do it right. And don't forget that salvation is a gift from God, and that grace that comes to you through that salvation, that's also situational. Get in touch with that passage in Hebrews where it says that we come to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace in the time of our need. It's such a great portion, because it tells you the throne is all grace, then you're there to receive mercy and find grace and help for your time of need. Awesome. And now I want to just throw in the last little portion of this little foursome, and it's all about to do with the down payment. 2 Corinthians 5:1-5. Here we go. For we know that if our earthly house, a tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And, in fact, we groan in this one, longing to put on our house from heaven. Since we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Indeed, we who are in this tent groan, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed, so that mortality can be swallowed up by life. And the one who prepared us for this very thing is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. I love these things. Okay, just bear with me. Paul said, bear with me in a little folly. Just bear with me. God has built into mankind a desire to live forever with the knowledge that he won't. In other words, let me go back to the sinner position. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says that God has set eternity in their hearts. So man, being a creature, women, men, women, children, everybody, they want to live forever, but they recognize their finality. They recognize that they are not an interlinear being, but a linear being with a beginning point and an end point. So only through Jesus Christ and his resurrection has light and immortality come to light regarding living forever. Jesus did something that nobody ever thought would happen. He didn't just die, he got up. He died, and then he got back up. And it's like, well, wait a minute, dude, you died. Yep, that was then, this is now. And so what happened is we came into a knowledge that this idea that eternity is in our hearts and we want to live forever is feasible. It's graspable. It comes to light because of Jesus Christ making the way and the truth and being the life. And nobody comes to the Father but by him. But he made the gospel illuminated so that we could go, oh, there is a forever path. We can. And in our bodies now, we groan. And we're like, why? But the same reason that I tripped over my fence and cut my knee, because I'm an idiot and because I don't know how to walk and because this body is not permanent. It's temporary. It's a tent. In fact, it's even called a tent, which is a temporary housing situation. But what the Lord did so that we could have comfort in this process is he put a down payment for eternity inside you. That's the Holy Spirit. People, I'm going to tell you right now, if you wonder, well, can I have assurance of salvation? Well, yes, as long as you're not grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit, you sure can. As long as you're not insulting the Spirit of grace, you can have that, because the Holy Spirit is your down payment. You access it through faith. It's given by grace. You receive it. But the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. You're a walking around. You're a walking around testimony of living forever just because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And you might be in a tent, but there's coming a time where that tent's going to shed, and instead of having a tent, you're going to have a house from heaven. It was like, well, I want that. Everybody should want that. This internal struggle that we have, it's resolved by God. He resolves the internal, internal, eternal struggle by giving us the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is our down payment. And I have a great word for those that are always wondering, well, is the Holy Spirit really in me? How much do you get away with? Not much? Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit's in you then. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't let you get away with stuff. You do something, the Holy Spirit goes, that's dumb. You're like, uh-oh. You know. And we know it by faith, but there's a practicality to this. God's the very one who prepared us for this and put the Spirit in us as a down payment, and the Holy Spirit's in you, convicting of sin. Boy, that's for sure. That's happening to me all the time. And sometimes I'm even actually walking in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, although as sporadic as it is. But that's part of the great grace and the great mercy and the great wonder of God. He's not just leaving you hanging, man. He put a depot in you. Yeah, I'm going to put my deposit in you right now. Take some of my Spirit and drop it in you right now. Now you'll know. You don't have to worry about it. You're in a tent. You're going to be in a home. And yeah, your body groans. Everybody who's over 20 groans. But there's coming a time where the new one, well, the mortality one's going to be swallowed up by immortality, and it's going to be a party than before. Hallelujah. Elijah and Enoch. Those are the two guys. Elijah didn't die, and neither did Enoch. I'll talk about that some other time. Our time is done for today. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, and we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.